Today on Talk About That, John ponders a new career in hip-hop and gets stuck on a boat when his Instagram post goes rogue. Meanwhile, I explain why I'm a control freak at booking travel, but a negligent stepdad when it comes to meal planning. Plus a conversation on revelation and our need for certainty and aversion to mystery. Today's episode is not sponsored by USB ports. You will never connect a cable to us correctly on the first try. Let's do it.
Johnny, it's another Monday. It's another episode of Talk About That. Excited to be with all of our listeners and viewers around the world.
Can you believe it? We made it to the Final Four, just like you said we would.
I was thinking about our last episode when we were like, oh, at this point, either our dreams will have been crushed.
Or we didn't even make it out of the first weekend. Either we've gone on, we did the thing, and you can be like, aha, I told you we were better than the three seed.
Yeah. Yeah. Johnny, it's about matchups. And isn't that just true about life? It's about matchups, bro. Look, when that guy hit that crazy hook shot.
Yeah.
And that was it. We were down by two.
Desperation hook.
And our guy, we should have been tied. Our guy didn't release the ball. He was a half second late, and that was on him, Sakai Ziegler.
Won't that preach?
And that was it. That was the game. That's how close. But hey, it makes me feel good that Auburn, one seed, lost also in the same round.
See, that's kind of, we're just like, I hope
we're
nobody
just
else.
Keep dogging the SEC.
Right.
And Kentucky was worse than us, lost in the first round.
That was that was so satisfying.
Super satisfying.
And then, of course, that team went on to win a couple more games, which was really cool. They made it to the Elite Eight. St. Peter's.
Yeah.
I don't know if anybody is interested in this, but it was a pretty cool story. 15 seed, made it all the way to the Final Eight.
I don't like that the Final Four has, and I'm assuming Kansas is going to make it.
They blew them out. They blew out St. Peter's.
Oh, did they?
Yeah, before I got here. They were winning by 30 points or so.
So you're going to have North Carolina,
Duke,
and Kansas.
Yeah.
And who's
and Villanova.
This is horrible.
Yeah.
They're all literally blue blood teams.
Yeah. We needed an orange blood team.
Villanova a little less, but.
And their guy hurt himself. He tore his Achilles, we think.
Oh.
Yeah. They're star players, so they're going to probably
It just reinforces all the, it's all about, the high profile programs are going to. And you're just like.
is that what you think happened?
I tell you. You had a guy tell me today,
yeah,
a guy who runs sound for us, one of our new members, and I guess I just got through singing, and I was about I did some announcements, and I came back there for something, and he goes, I love your voice. You should do radio.
Oh, okay.
And I know he wasn't talking about a singing voice.
Oh, he was, did the announcements.
The announcements. Like, I wonder what I said. I wonder what I was doing.
Yeah.
I have a face for radio. But.
Well, people listen to our podcast, and I hear people say, like, they like our voices or whatever.
Yeah.
Maybe we're soothing.
See, I think
people like driving off a bridge.
You have a great radio
voice.
Oh, you
think so?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, you know, when I did I've done these car commercials.
Yeah.
I've done three sets of car commercials for this dealership, and the guy saw me doing stand-up, and he was like, I want you to be our, and I was like, this guy thinks I'm funny. I had, like, a bit about a rental car, and I thought, well, this is why.
Uh-huh.
Come to find out, they had a deal with some advertising agency that writes the ads, and he just wanted me to be like their CarMax guy, like the nerdy guy that does the CarMax spots.
Wow.
He wanted me to be that guy. Now, I think he wanted me to put a little funniness and personality on him.
A little Johnny W. But English on it, if you will.
Coming right up. But I think, it kind of made me go like, well, I don't know. I'm not a great looking guy.
You're not even in the top 10.
No.
You're...
Do you have a ranking out there? Good-looking guys. Do you have like a sliding file that you change out every night? All righty, let's move Brad Pitt. Let's move Brad Pitt down one.
And get a push notification.
Can you share that Google list with me? That Google Doc. No. So I just didn't know, and I was like, well, this is interesting. So, but then I've heard people say, no, we like your voice, and my wife's even said, I like your voice. Which is like, okay.
Oh well.
That's just why we're still together, man.
Do you, baby?
No.
Yeah. You don't say that?
No.
You like my voice? Well, the deal was, I actually had a really scratchy throat this morning.
Okay.
And I don't know if that played into it.
Well, I've been kind of, I've had the crud, so I'm a little like, I'm still in my...
A little haggard.
A little gravelly.
Yeah.
It's got a bassiness to it that's not normally there.
Mm-mm.
It's kind of like when you first wake up, you have like an hour or two, where if somebody calls you on the phone, they're like, are you asleep? You're like, no.
No, I'm not asleep.
But you definitely were.
Yeah.
Probably.
And may still be.
Can you tell when I'm like
answering
the phone from bed and I've tried to play it off before. Can you tell?
You
if
know
I'm just
what?
Like still in a, I'm in a reclined position. No, man, I'm up.
I often wonder, and here's the thing, if out of all the people in my life.
I'm on my way.
Out of all the people in my life,
yeah.
I always figure you should be the one who's asleep because I know you just got off a plane at 4 a.m. or whatever.
That's what happened today.
Yeah. So when you're awake, when you text me, I got on a plane.
I woke up at 4 to go get on a plane in Kansas City. Drove around a car from Topeka,
guys. Johnny's a big time traveler.
Yeah. My first time in Topeka. But anyway, really? I've driven through Kansas, which is what you want to do. No, they were lovely people. It was a great show. But anyway, I was up early, and then I was determined. I'm going to make it barely in time to go to church if I want to.
Yeah, I thought I might see you.
And
I was
preaching. By the time I got off the plane and walked through and got to the rental car and got home to change and come back, Curry was getting ready to leave. She went home to be with her family a little while. Her mom's sick, and so she was just like, hey. And so we hung out for a minute, and then I was like, now it's 10 o'clock. And I was like, now I could like bum rush over there and for the last worship song. Right. Maybe find a seat. And I'm by myself, so there's that whole thing of like, where's Curry?
Oh, are Johnny and Curry having problems?
Yeah. And look, maybe we are, maybe we aren't. And draw your own conclusions. But yeah, so then I did text you and go, are you preaching? And then I think I got your hopes up right that I was going to be here. And then y'all like, you looked out in the audience and I wasn't there. I can't go on.
Yeah, it was going to be better if you were there. I was saving the good stuff for Johnny, and
because it was about me.
It was about the end times. Oddly enough, it was about you.
Have you ever found yourself wanting to preach at people? But I mean, and obviously you have wanted to. Have you ever been guilty of it, where you're literally like, "Let's hope this hits home with," and you have a person in mind. It's like Bobby Boucher. You're seeing them on the football as you kick the football.
You know what I have is there's a principle inside of me that I won't preach at someone based off of like a conversation or an event that week. In fact, this happens to me all the time.
Yeah.
I will be in a conversation, a lunch, a counseling session where we've talked about someone's problem. And then because often I'll share something that's already fresh in my mind that's also going to be in the sermon that week.
Oh, yeah.
And so then I will call them on Saturday and go, hey, listen, I'm going to say this and I said it to you this week. I just want you to know the sermon's not about you. Like, I'm never going to bring what we talked about privately into this. So they usually laugh, like, oh, that's funny. You know, it's like, no, but I just want you not to worry about it. So that's a big deal for me. But what I do find is, and this is a mistake that I have to keep working on, is there is someone in my mind, like today's was a great example. There's like a group of people maybe, and maybe there's people that when I see them, I assume they're on that side of this.
Right, like opposition mindset.
Right. Like I was talking about eschatology end times. Today we used a Bible Project video on the Day of the Lord.
It's the study of escargot.
Right. The study of end times. And the video is amazing. BibleProject.com, guys. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, they're really well
so good. We've used them so many times and they're just great pieces to do the job and then you can kind of be free. But I really talked about the unhealthy obsession that many Christian leaders, ministers, and just people have with are we living in the end times? And especially right now with what's going on in the world.
Is Revelation literal? Is it an allegory? Is it a...
Yeah, and people are afraid. And I talked about you can tell a tree by its fruit. And I really actually, not to say too much about it, but I really had some thoughts that had never come to me before. And so I read two scriptures, one where Jesus in Acts chapter 1 says, when they say, hey, will you restore the kingdom to Israel at this time, which is they're asking, are you bringing the day of the Lord now? Like, this is it. You just rose from the dead. Are you done? Can we finally be done with this Roman occupation, sin, all this stuff? He says, it is not for you to know the day or the times that the Father has appointed for these things, but you will receive power and the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And so he sends them into the Great Commission. Mm-hmm. And then Paul says the same thing in Thessalonians. He says, hey, about the times and seasons of when all this is going to happen, I don't even have to write to you about it. Like it was a foregone conclusion in the first century that, guys, you know we're not supposed to know. And so I'm not even going to write to you about the times. You know, and he talks about thief in the night. But he says, and I thought when I was a kid, that was always scary. Mm-hmm. You know, but he says, but you don't live at the night. You don't live in darkness. You live in the day. So don't live, you know, and he uses the metaphors of being sober and being awake. And he says, you know, because you're not appointed for wrath. And so it was like this joyful thing. But in my mind, trying to talk people out of the unhealthy obsession on those things and to live. And then what really drives me crazy is I used a verse like where he says, and the point of this teaching is this, colon, to love one another, to live a life basically of authenticity. Of, you know, he lays out the gospel of what it really means.
Yeah.
To put on the breastplate of faith and love, to cover your head.
I thought it was the breastplate of righteousness.
This is a different one.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then
it's a whole different.
It's all
a whole different outfit.
Whole different armor. Okay. Suit of armor. Yeah.
All right.
And so, and to put on like the hope of your salvation as a helmet. Okay.
Yeah.
And it's like, when he says, this is what I want you to focus on, and y'all know we're not supposed to focus on this, but I said, guys, because I talked to a podcast network executive the other day, and I went and looked at some of their listings. Johnny, there are probably 75 podcasts on their network about the end times.
Yeah, yeah.
About prophetic things. Some of them are
it's
about—
It's been going on since we were kids, where like everything is a sign of, it's happening.
It's now. And I was like—
Everybody wants to believe they're in the last generation.
And often America— is a part of the brand, right, of it. And people are trying—I said, you know, guys, there are people legitimately who in my lifetime have believed that Social Security numbers are the mark of the beast.
Yeah.
And, you know, especially when those first came out. That's not my lifetime. I know. And then, yeah. But there are people who believe that 5G was the mark of the
beast. Do you want to go ahead and share your Social Security number?
Guys, it's 797-77. No, wait. I've lost it.
7777.
So keep dialing 7. And— I was like, people in our time of thought, 5G was some sort of nefarious, insidious part of Scripture, bringing the prophecy to fulfillment. There are people who believe that American politicians are the Antichrist.
What are the 5Gs in the Bible? You got Gilgamesh,
Gargamel. Goliath. Wait, that's a different one.
Gollum.
Wait, no, that's a different
Goliath
one.
Goliath is in there.
Yes, not Gollum or Gargamel.
Gomer.
Gomer.
She was the prostitute that
married Hosea. How many is that?
That's three. It's 3G. One. All we can get to is 3G. And that's why your faith is suffering, John. You got no reception.
You're still living on 3G. And isn't that just like our lives, John? Isn't it, though?
No, but I know what you mean. And it's interesting like that. And I wonder if there's somebody out there doing that work of finding out. Because we follow a couple of the same accounts on Twitter that talk about the rise of like Christian nationalism and the way that the American Evangelical Church centers itself in matters of prophecy, and it centers itself in matters of like the global world, and like that we're the center of it all. So, and it affects everything, even things like when gas prices go up here, we blame our president. Even if gas prices are up in every other country, we still would blame Trump or blame Biden or give Trump credit or give Biden credit if you're whatever. Right. Even though it's a global issue,
right,
and it's based on a pandemic, and it's based on all kinds of other many factors, but we still try to do that. And I think that we have so much information. We've had this conversation before, but when it comes to eschatology, I think our level of tolerance for certainty has gone way down.
Yeah.
And our need for certainty in our faith, it's like we need, because like we're like, okay, we're fighting this battle out here with people who don't believe in Jesus at all. So we can give them these things to hold on to. And like, I think it's just a very sexy thing to be like, but I know these secrets.
Yeah.
And I know the exact way it's going to go down.
It's insider Christianity.
Yeah. And you can it's like Gnosticism. You can unlock this code for them. Uh-huh. Now you get the cheat code and they go, oh, and then their minds opened up. But really what it is, it's almost like pride, because it's like, you poor people that don't understand the Scriptures the way I do. It can become that. I don't think it always starts there, but I don't know. Because it's like a sci-fi movie when you read Revelation.
That's exactly
like, at
what
face
I
said. Value, you're like,
I said, this is like a Marvel universe in some ways. And we now watch on screens things that we look at in Revelation they can make with CGI. And we've kind of made a comic book out of all this. And it's all theoretical. And it's like, and you can ask yourself, well, what's the harm? We're studying the Bible. And I went into Thessalonians where he says, like, to Timothy, where he says, avoid, like, what he says is, excuse me, let's get it right, Johnny. They spend their time, and he says, number one, avoid those who teach false doctrine. Like, I'm not telling you that studying the end times is false doctrine. I mean, and I'm not telling you, and we're not de-emphasizing it today. Like, this is important. Jesus talked about it. Peter talked about it. Paul talked about it. It's like, this is important. But where does it fit in the context of the gospel? I think it was Augustine who said, basically, that most of our lives are not about what we're doing right and wrong. It's about misordered priorities.
Right. Majoring on the minors or whatever.
So how do I get myself properly ordered in this?
Yeah, yeah.
And so where does this fit in the order of what I believe? And then he talks about those who do endless genealogies, which for the rabbi tradition, they were trying to follow even new Christian Christian rabbis who are now converted based upon who they're related to. And so they were spending this time. He says this just leads to meaningless talk. That's the word he uses.
Right.
Just leads to meaningless talk. And you spend your time in meaningless talk. So
why is that not the name of our podcast?
Guys, meaningless talk.
About
with
that.
John and Johnny. But, you know, but that's the thing. It's like it's not a – you think, oh, this is harmless. But I was like, you can't spend your time then to say yes to one thing is to say no to something else. Mm-hmm. Like you have only a limited amount of capacity and energy. And so for the Christ follower, if I spend my time obsessing either – I said, guys, I met a lot of Christians too over the years who were super excited about, in their minds, a bunch of unbelievers burning in a lake of fire.
Yeah.
Super excited about it. I don't think that's right.
It's the end game. Yeah, it proves that you were right about the wrong that they perceived wrong they were doing.
Right.
It's like, well, they got their comeuppance. Like everybody loves the movie when the bad person, the Cruella de Vil, gets her comeuppance.
Yep.
And so we're envisioning it that way. What I find weird now is like you're seeing it happen with what's happening in the Ukraine where people are like, this is a prophecy being fulfilled. And they're almost excited and they're almost trying to push us into World War III.
Right.
Like, well, what's going to happen next is – and I'm just like, no, we're trying to stop from nuking each other. Like we grew up under that. I grew up – we're 5 years apart, but like I grew up, we all had missiles pointed at each other. It was like, whatever we do, we don't want to go that far because you can't come back from that. Now people are like – I've overheard people say it. Oh, look, this is just proof that it's going to – I'm just like, what? What are we doing
right here?
You can't come back from that.
No, mutually assured destruction is not a good end game.
And war is not of God. I mean, we got to – it's not – I hate that mind of like, I understand having a armed forces and we need to protect our freedoms and all that and we need to protect all that stuff. I get it. But the amount of money that we spend on it and the fear-mongering that we put into it and the sheer joy that we take in it. And Christians that take sheer joy in warmongering, it's upsetting to me. And I know that I'm probably a pacifist by most people's standards. I don't believe we should just let people push us over. But I think there's a line where it's like you see people like taking – like they're gleefully want to just rush into combat.
Yeah, I think anybody – if you really read the founders and you really read, you know, sort of their mindset, there was always a for a lot of them at least – George Washington's a great example. I mean, it was super hesitant to have to use military force. Military force should be something –
you're putting kids at risk. You're putting teenage boys basically and young men like – with lives when you do this.
Again, I own guns.
I don't want to
have to use them.
It shouldn't be a thing. Like, I can't wait for an opportunity to use this gun.
Boy, I sure hope someone tries to climb this window so I could shoot them.
Or like, mess with me at the bar, see what happens. I'm carrying. Like, those are the attitudes of people who should not have a gun.
Right. And I do think, again, I'm – and we
and
all –
and by the same count, those are the attitudes of people who should not have nuclear weapons. If you're that guy, if you're Kim Jong-un and you're that guy that you're like, he's got a short fuse, like, that's why we don't want you having nukes, dude.
Yeah.
Because you constantly threaten people.
Yeah, and you got a both and where you're – like you said, I believe in a strong national defense. And I believe
our warriors should be honored. They're worthy of honor. And they've made more sacrifices than I could even care to count, and I understand that. But it's that thing of like everybody knows that person.
Yeah. When someone just says, oh, we should just blow somebody up, I just go, man, like there's a toll. And again, we're working with refugees right now from Afghanistan. Like there's a toll for war.
Yeah, man.
And sitting in their house, helping them rebuild a life that they had. I mean, there's a toll. And for whatever reason, modern Western thought wants to focus on who's at fault. And there's a place for that, but and I talk about that today as well. I think that this distraction of spiritual thought can cause us to. I said this morning. I was like, so as people are fleeing by the millions across Europe right now, there's a lot of Christians sitting back trying, like it's almost like they're playing a card game or the lottery, trying to figure out, ooh, how does this fit into end times, and they're not helping the poor and the marginalized right now and the people traveling with infants and orphans and elderly. And you go, that's why I don't have time to be in both spaces very well. And it's not a de-emphasis of that. It's going, this might be playing into, but God's made it super clear. And this was the big thing. Like I'm not saying that revelations and prophecies don't still happen. Okay. But I'm saying this, if you believe, and this was kind of, for me, a bomb drop, because I never thought of it like this, those prophecies and revelations that are happening today cannot contradict Scripture. Mm-hmm. And here's two scriptures that say, that explicitly state that God does not want us to know the dates or the seasons or the times of this, some of the, well, the seasons, but not the days or the times. So if you're trying to reckon with, oh, this is the day and the time, like he's already specifically said, that's not for you to know.
Yeah.
Jesus said it. Paul said it. So the new revelation, and that's the other thing is if you get a video of some prophecy, always ask yourself, is there an ad in it?
Yeah. Well, and people always like will use the thing. I mean, for decades and decades and decades, people have been using the – you'll see these memes put up. Or in our day, it would be like you'd get a fax or you'd get an email or you'd get a thing or you'd see it on the bulletin board at church. And it would be like people will be lovers of themselves. People will be selfish and they'll be – they'll have itching ears and they won't listen to sound doctrine. And in every generation, we think fits.
Right.
We're that's us because think about how good it used to be. Yeah. People used to endure sound doctrine, and now they don't. And that proves that any day now, and you're like, yeah, it's everybody sucks all the time. It's the brokenness of humanity.
They're broken the
whole
time.
We've always had itchy ears. We've always loved to hear what we want to hear. It's just there's more of us now. It feels like a bigger problem. I mean, there was a thing that I saw today that said if you're older than 45, which how old are you?
44.
44. If you're older than 45, the population of the world has doubled in your lifetime.
Wow.
So just that mass of humanity that's entered into the equation means, yeah, we're in each other's way more. We're going to be more selfish. We're going to be more ticked off.
Yeah.
Technology enters into the equation. Now our selfishness is on display.
Yeah.
There's more ways to project it.
Yeah, we're more interconnected as well. So I depend on people that I may not be able to trust.
So I'm not saying it's not getting worse as far as like I'm saying it's – if it's not getting worse, I'm saying it's way more apparent maybe now. But these are the old fear tropes that we've heard since we were kids that like we'll know this is happening when. And it's like that stuff always was happening.
Yeah, and I said that. I mean, the early church believed Jesus is coming back any day. That's kind of been a belief of the church throughout history. And that's sort of the posture God wants you to take.
Yeah.
To believe and realize. And when I say the Lord coming back, I mean like the setting right of all these things, however you see that sequence of events. But
I see Kirk Cameron. First of all,
you see, yeah.
In a lead role.
I did not say Left Behind books today. I did say even fictionalized versions. I was like, there are authors that this is exclusively what they write about.
Oh, yeah, it's cash cow.
And I'm not saying I'm not saying it's bad. I do know that one of those series has sold 72 million copies. That came across my life the other day. 72 million copies about fictionalized eschatology.
Well, it just proves that there's a market.
Right. There's a hunger for it. And yeah. I'm not saying it's right or wrong to do that. I write books. You know what I'm saying? It's fine.
I think you're mad you didn't write the Left Behind series.
Guys, I'm writing my own called More Left Behind.
It's a prequel.
you just go, there's just so many explicit things that we go, yeah, but who can do that? I was like, that's the life in Christ is. How what does it mean to put on the breastplate of love and righteousness? It's like that's what you're supposed to figure out today.
Yeah,
that's the journey.
Rather
that's
than
the tension
that you can be sure about, and so you can walk around with this sense of like superiority over your neighbor,
right?
Because you know the deep, you know, Gnostic thing about God that only you know.
Right.
That was the other thing we grew up with that I feel like was a real danger, and I don't have any of it anymore. There are people who I respect that are pastors. But I think I used to feel like
I appreciate that. Thank you.
But I think I used to feel like the pastor, it was his responsibility to be the most spiritual person in the room. And he had this secret handshake with God that I could never have.
Yeah.
And I think when I came on staff at a church, that started to fade away.
Yeah.
Because everybody's just so real around here, part of it. And then I was like, oh, now I'm that guy and people are looking at me that way.
Yeah.
And I know what I am. So what are we all doing here? And you realize we're all just kind of, hey, that's the priesthood of the believer. Like we all get a chance to have a relationship with God.
Yeah.
And that was probably a good thing because I think now, because then when you see these people, they get lifted up and they fall inevitably. It happens. I mean, it's happening now. You see the Hillsong documentary that came out this week and the whole thing that's happening with them. And they're out trying to put out all those brush fires. It's just, that's what it is. It's what we do. The minute we build a thing, try to build it in our own image, build our own kingdom, and they go, yeah, but we'll add God to this. It'll be great. We're doing this for him. And then you realize, no, we're not necessarily. We're probably misappropriating here. And then it's like, then it falls apart. And then it's like, let's destroy all these people. They've clearly, you know, misappropriated our message. And it's like, yeah, but it would happen anywhere.
Yeah, it's really hard to know what can be built. And I think that there's a perception that modern cancel culture, or whatever you want to call it, which I think is one of those terms that
it doesn't mean anything anymore.
They take into their – everything's cancel culture.
Right. So everything – it's like woke. Like whatever woke is to you might not be woke to another person. Woke can mean anything left of you.
Right.
You could be the farthest right person, complete QAnon and crazy
you're like,
person.
One increment to the left.
Like, woke. Oh, you're woke. I didn't know you were one of those. Yeah. And you're like, oh, just you're because I don't want to put on a whatever that bison head and go – you know, paint my chest. Yeah, well, look, if you weren't, I CRT got to you clearly because you should wear this thing. It's amazing.
Yeah, it's.
So, yeah, you're right. It's one of those terms. It's one of those terms that doesn't mean anything anymore.
Strange. And when you cancel, it's an impossible set of rules.
It is. And that's, to me, that's what political correctness is. Yeah. But what it's not is I said something stupid on Twitter, a Twitter mob came after me. And there was accountability for my actions and then I get fired from my job at Pizza Hut because I'm a manager and I said something racist. Well, I'm being canceled. This is just political correctness. Right. No, this is total accountability because you were racist.
Right. Well, and you were racist in a public forum.
A company has the right. Again, that's the thing. When true capitalists talk about supply and demand and like the freedom of a company to make its own decisions on who it hires and fires, and I don't want to bake a cake for you if I don't want to. But then when they fire somebody as a private company for doing something like what the Papa John's guy did, and you go, but then people won't have outcry on his behalf because that's political correctness. It's like, no, this is the private nature of our economy working. They decided we don't want to be associated with this guy anymore. Guess what, Jared from Subway? You're done. That's not political correctness. You blew it.
Nobody's going to call cancel on that one.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
We rush to somebody's aim. We're like, oh, now they're the victim somehow. It's like, no, they should have controlled their words better or not had the icky thoughts they had maybe.
It's a reality and that's something Laura and I talk about all the time. Like, true freedom is not freedom from the consequences of what you do, especially if you're going to be in a public forum. It is a reality that can be overdone. People can't overcorrect.
And some people just shouldn't be in leadership because of that. If you go, it's overwhelming to me, the idea of the accountability. Some people don't get into ministry because of that.
Absolutely.
It's one of the things I don't miss about ministry, honestly. Yeah. Like, I do comedy places, and I'm a blow-in, blow-up, and blow-out kind of a guy now. I go in, I do my stuff, and I can leave. There's things that bother me about it, and part of it's that I don't put down roots as much. It's easy for me to stay disconnected. That feeds into maybe a darker part of my personality that I don't want to necessarily feed. But I miss sometimes being in one-on-one ministry with students and stuff the way I was when I was a college pastor. But the accountability of it is heavy. It's a heavy burden. And the eyes on you, it's a fishbowl. It's hard. Yeah. And so part of that I don't miss. Some of it I really do miss. And some people just aren't cut out for it, and they need to know that about themselves.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm not wired this way. I just kind of thought I really wanted to be a youth pastor when I was a kid. And now that I'm an adult, I realize I was just trying to impress Pastor John.
Yeah.
I wanted to be his favorite.
Sorry, kids.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And it turns out I wasn't kind of – I need to be a construction worker or whatever. I need to be a general contractor. Like, and there's a lot – there's plenty of room for those.
Yeah. I mean, and again, the weight – I talk about that weight sometimes. I think that trying to live more honestly
– I wish you would.
Helps a lot because I don't have anything to hide.
Yeah.
That's not – I have things that are private.
Yeah.
So living honestly doesn't mean like –
You want to go ahead and talk about some of those?
Guys, let's talk about that. You know, there are things – and something I say to the church all the time. Like the goal of living in the light is not that everyone knows all the things about you.
Yeah. That's interesting. That's a good thing to say because I think we feel a right to that because of Instagram and Twitter and, you know.
It is ridiculous.
Even like Taylor Hawkins for Foo Fighters died Friday. Yeah. He was 50. He's the drummer for Foo Fighters. And it's very mysterious. Obviously, we don't know yet, and people are making assumptions. I mean, everybody, every possible conspiracy theory is out there. But it's amazing to me that I immediately felt like I had a right to know what happened to him. I don't know him
at all.
His family's just devastated. His fans are devastated. And I'm like, gosh, I hope it wasn't. And I'm refreshing, trying to find, does anybody know the cause of death? Like, I have a right to know that. It's just a strange thing.
It is. And I think,
so how much more do we demand that of people that we do know? Like public figures, we think, well, I want to know what her deal was. How much more do I go, I wonder what John's up to?
Well, part of that is when we talk about like recovery stuff, you know, that's the first reaction is you just want everyone to know all of our business. And I'm always like, look, we don't want everyone to know all your business, but we think that someone should know all your business. So there's a big difference. Yeah. Do you have anyone who knows all the stuff going on in your life? And that is a key.
Yeah.
If you can't point to anyone who does, that's
yeah.
Well,
you talked about mutually assured destruction earlier with nuclear weapons. Like my buddy Peter Miller used to talk about that. He's got like a friend, and he says that we know each other's everything, and it's mutually assured destruction. You know, it's like, you know, you know stuff about me that could destroy me, and I know stuff about you that could destroy you. And this is – but there's a healthiness in, like, knowing that and holding that and praying for each other about that. You know it all.
Right.
For some people, that's obviously their spouse.
So you're saying life in Christ is like a cold war with other believers.
It is.
I like where that went.
The missiles pointed at each other are grace. No, wait, that's not right.
No, and I think it's so funny. I was on the cruise the other day, and I have permission to talk about this.
Oh, boy.
I did not have Wi-Fi. Except at times.
Man,
it was tough, bro.
It had to be. It had to be so hard.
We bought it for Sadie's.
I remember I was on my fifth bowl of ice cream, and I thought, Lord, take me now because I can't send or receive emails.
I haven't checked how many likes I have on that last reel in at least 30 minutes, and it is killing me. I really wanted to be disconnected.
Yeah.
So before we got there, I stopped at Buc-ee's. You ever been to a Buc-ee's?
Oh, of course. Fantastic. Okay,
never been.
It's its own world. It's its own planet.
So I shot a little ditty. A little like, hey, this is crazy. You know, this is like, I don't know what I said. Something like, did you see it? I don't even know what I said.
I was on my
phone.
I
never saw it.
No, I never saw it because I was watching it. The sound was off, but I saw the I saw the track and immediately was like, whoa! And I screenshot it and sent it to you.
So,
because I didn't know how long it had been up.
So I'm working with some, you know, people who are helping me. And I was like, all right,
the Bilderbergs,
I maybe,
the Illuminati.
Yeah, maybe you heard of them. And so wonderful people. Mm-hmm. And so there was a mistake and a song got put on there. And they pick songs based off of the algorithms. And,
all right, what songs are popular that get you more views?
Right. And so it was just a little silly thing.
Some of these
thing.
Songs are secular.
It was a little silly thing that I shot on my way. It wasn't in our plan. It wasn't like one of our podcast clips or whatever, you know. Yeah. I was like, this would be kind of fun, you know. And so I get on the ship. Of course, I can't really communicate very well. It's very sketchy. You know, it's coming and going. And I get a screenshot from you and from Allison, like, immediately. Hey, nice song choice is what you say. I forget what she said.
Did I say that?
Yeah, nice song choice? Hey, great song choice is what you said.
Oh, man.
It was an inappropriate song title with an inappropriate song subtitle.
Yeah. The band was inappropriate. The band name was inappropriate. And the song title was inappropriate.
Yeah.
And the lyrics were inappropriate.
Yeah.
It was like an inappropriate burrito.
Sandwich. Yeah. And I can't deal with it immediately because I can't get information out very well. So I just got your text may have been sent 2 hours ago. All I know is I'm out at sea.
Yeah.
And
man,
this
is tough. This is a crisis situation. It's like when Bush was reading to the children and the guy came in and whispered in, hey,
it's just like this.
You, the song choice on your Instagram reel. You're going to want to have a look at that. It's going viral.
And
people are really upset.
I got to put on a brave face.
You have to finish reading to the children. No, but it is weird when you're on that boat because, the internet on the boat is like $100 a day.
Yeah, and this problem felt way bigger to me than it probably was.
Yeah.
But
because you're worried about people's, like, are people going to think, like, that you chose that?
It's a, well, again, the amount of energy it is taking me to even try is absolutely astronomical. And it makes me so, this is the vulnerable side. It makes me feel so much even more dumb because I see people who just do that in their sleep. Oh, they make great content all the time and they know how to naturally put it out to many platforms and they know, like.
But that's not true, but that's perception.
I think there are people who do.
Well, there are people who are gifted at it for sure, but there are people who have been trying at it for 10 years. They're just 10 years ahead of you.
There's some people, though, who have been trying at it for 10 months and are already ahead of me on those things.
Are they better looking, though, be honest?
Absolutely. Okay. It doesn't take much. And so, but it's just kind of like, this shouldn't be that hard. And I'm not the old guy shaking my fist. Like, I'm on social media. It's fine.
Yeah.
I can do a lot of this myself, but I believe in teams.
Right. Like, look, I want to delegate some things, too, and it's hard. Because the minute you delegate and then something goes wrong, you want to – like, I don't delegate my travel. Like, I've booked my own travel.
Yeah.
For my whole career. 15 years I've been doing comedy now. And I had so many agents that I've worked with go, well, why are you, we can do this. We have people.
Yeah.
And I was like, with CAA for a while, and it was the largest agency in the world. And they go, we have people that just do this. Yeah. They know, they search the thing, they get the best prices. And I go, you're going to not understand that I need to do an early flight on this day, and then I need to get out on this day because yeah. I want to, you're not going to want to know, you don't know my preferences. I could tell you some rules to go by, and then the rules are going to change, and you're going to do something wrong, and I'm going to call you and go, why would you book?
Right. And now I'm stuck out in Topeka.
Right. It's easier for me just to do it myself. And yeah. plus, it calms me. Like, Todd Hawkins told me that when I told him that. I go, I like to my own travel. And he goes, I thought he'd be offended. He goes, I understand. He goes, your job is so abstract. So this is something you can, like, check off. All right. I booked that hotel. I booked yeah. that rental car. I'm going to Topeka. And then it's done. Whereas, like, my bit about Heinz ketchup is never done. It's always growing and it's changing. And this crowd liked it. This crowd didn't. I have to alter it. Yeah. Like, you know what I mean? So yeah. it's like, it's this weird thing of like, when you make your money off being creative, you want this thing you can check off. So maybe that's the thing. I don't know.
I don't know. For
I have a hard time delegating, but to your point, like, we got to do it. You have to have a team.
I don't want to do it. And I want the team to do it. So, by the way, I put out a thing.
But you wanted to do it right. They're fired.
I put out a thing on LinkedIn for like a content curator, social media manager kind of thing.
Everyone thinks they are, though. How do you know if they're for real?
I had 85 applicants right. and in 24 hours.
How do you know what you're choosing?
I was then so overwhelmed.
Yeah.
I was by like, the 85, oh, geez. I wanted someone to make me less overwhelmed.
Like four.
Yeah. I was like, oh, give me. And I was already hiring
85?
For yes, and I was already hiring for I was already at 14 applicants for the new student ministry director. So I'm interviewing people.
And throw a curveball, hire one of those guys to be the youth director.
Guys,
hire the social media curator to
boom. What could go wrong? And so like I did, I'm it's just a. I just go and I have this conversation with a friend who's a best-selling author. Not going to say who it is because that'd be name dropping, but I'm going to say this guy's is a pretty big deal.
Name rhymes with Makedo.
Me and Max were hanging out. And anyway, I was talking and I was kind of sharing. I was like, hey, who do you use for this and that? And he was having, and his social media is great. He's like, I'm actually doing it myself right now. And I've been looking to, and he said, dude, I feel the frustration of we can't just be authors anymore.
Yeah.
We can't just do what we do. Uh-huh. You know, that you have to be simultaneously platform building in order to be an author. And that really, and my therapist knows this well, that really rubs up then against like calling and where my energies go. Like,
right. What you have the bandwidth for and what you don't.
Because I want to be creating the thing that makes it worth promoting.
Yeah.
And I'm always, I get to a place where I think I'm there. I get to a place where I'm like, I'm having to focus so much on promoting. I'm not even certain that I like what I'm creating in that moment.
Yeah.
In that moment, you know.
Right. If it's something that's just off the cuff and you're just trying to like, I got to keep engaging these people because consistency is key. And so here's a Bucky's video.
For what? For like followers. And then, yeah. So for example, listener, and I may be promoting this. I'm supposed to be writing a newsletter, like a weekly newsletter.
Uh-huh.
That's what I do.
The Daily Driver.
Well, I think we're going to go with a talk about that brand. Probably.
The driver's seat.
Right. No, ooh.
Let me
nobody
brand.
Will
let me brand this.
You want to ghostwrite it for me? How about buy John Driver with Joni W? That'd be dude. I like the sound of that.
Okay.
Anyway, like that's
you got
what
yourself
I,
a deal.
Like you think that's what I could do? Like that's really what I do. And because of me trying to platform build elsewhere, and there's a lot of things going on at church that are really good, but a lot of like just that job, we're very involved in some very important things. And right now. It's like, I for the first time in my life, I told someone the other day, it's like, and I don't like baseball in terms of playing it. I was never very good at it. But
you just want it for
I'll
the
watch.
Analogies. You want
I just
it for the
use
metaphors.
It for the metaphors, yeah.
Some people are born on third base, think they hit a triple.
Some of y'all been standing in right field hoping someone's going to hit the ball in the right
some of y'all
field.
Need to sacrifice fly so somebody else can make it home. Glory!
Some of y'all think it's a one-hopper when it's really a three. I don't know. That doesn't help at all.
If
it hops three times, it stopped at that point, and you didn't run far enough. At any rate, I was in the batter's box in this metaphor, and it's like I'm watching pitches.
Yeah,
and it's like I can't swing. Like this is a very rare for me because you know you always like John, you're the guy who gets up and decides you're gonna, and I'm like man,
yeah.
I'm just watching the ball come by a little bit right now. And I'm, I guess, I don't know, I'm doing stuff.
But you're learning. You're doing your research. Because people do that sometimes. They go, I'm going to learn this pitcher's patterns. That way when I come up against him in the games that matter, I'll know.
He's going to know that I never swung at a ball.
But that's when you throw him off because, this guy won't swing. Then you go, but I know when your fastball's coming. And then viral video.
Wow.
I don't know.
And the metaphor of the viral, like if I hit the ball, would it really go viral, Johnny? Let's look at who I am.
Our buddy Ed Wiley, he's decided to like go all in on TikTok. And so he told me that he's been texting me this week. And I think he even posted about it so I can share it. But he shared these videos and they get 200 views, 300 views, 12 views, 40 views, 200 views, 200 views. Then he made one and it was just about Dollar General stores. Just like a strong opinion about Dollar Generals and some jokes in there. And about how there are some nicer Dollar Generals than others.
Yeah.
27,000 views in the first day. He's like, well, okay. I don't know what to do with this information. Am I just going to be the Dollar General guy?
Right.
Like, what would you do if your Buc-ee's video did go viral? And you're like, well, that's my brand now. I'm the Buc-ee's dude.
And I don't want to be. That's the thing. Like, and even then, what do the views even mean?
Yeah.
Like, for a guy who's a pastor and an author, the views are, and this is where you have to come to, and I recognize this now, but like it's not number one, they even produce followers.
Right.
And then number two, they certainly don't produce like someone reading the book.
Do they produce Christ followers?
That's the point. Like, I'm not, this is part of my Enneagram 6 stuff, but like those are already shallow connections to me, which already feel inauthentic.
Yeah.
Like, if I'm going to affect
something.
It's almost
like you're using them in some ways.
Yeah. And I hate the feeling of that.
Yeah.
I like to be in deep relationship or nothing. I'm learning to have acquaintances.
But you're trying to get them to access something that you have made is your ultimate goal that will benefit them.
Correct. That's why I
can. There's some altruism there.
I'm not sure. I assume there's no altruism in me at all.
Yeah.
I just kind of assume that.
I do too. I was just trying to use that word.
Right.
That was my word of the day calendar.
I assume like there's no, like I just assume it's all prideful hubris. That's something I also have to deal with. It's not all. That way, but that's what I assume.
You try to one-up me from altruism to hubris?
Hubris, yeah. Do you see I did that? Yeah.
It won't work, John. So I got a lot of 50-cent words in here. You better get ready for the cornucopia.
Johnny, if you're going to bring all this, if you're just going to be a scuttlebutt, that was the one I came across the other day.
Subsequent words are coming.
Oh, wow.
Like
subsequent superfluous words?
Well, they'll be superfluous.
They're not superfluous. Just. Yeah. But, you know, it's one of those, like, you go, I'm shooting a Buc-ee's video.
Uh-huh.
And then what I think of is there's someone out there, they're like, oh, yeah, this is my life today. I love to share it. Like, those are the extroverts, the sevens. Cool, this is great. They don't really care. And I'm trying to go, where's the thread? Where's the through line to the what I'm really doing in life here? And I'm having trouble following this. Oh, and then, by the way, we put the wrong song on it. Now I had to make a statement.
That's the funny thing is when the statement came out, I was like, John is going to make a statement.
It's going
to
be bigger.
That's going
to
make it
worse
because that will get seen.
Uh-huh.
That will get seen. It's like you posted the correction.
Yeah.
We're terribly sorry for what occurred yesterday. Let your mind wander as to what it was. Breaking news.
Right.
John was an idiot, but we've deleted the
thing. We're not going to tell you what it was. Yeah.
And so everybody was like, what? What in the world? They're trying to think what possible
was John
song
in the
it could have been.
What was the.
Yeah. No, they're trying to think about what horrible, like, what song was it? You know?
and this is the listeners doing right now.
Yeah.
And you can't find it unless you're in the dark web, I'm sure.
Yeah. That's where we've banished it to.
Listen, if you know how to get in the dark web, email me at john@johndriver.com.
Is it like the black market?
We'll
like,
to work
people
together.
Like buying things on the black market?
I need someone like
the
that.
Same thing. Go to the dark web, get a couple of kidneys, whatever
Maybe.
You need.
Hey.
Is it hard to acquire?
I'm fresh out of kidney jokes. Sorry. Yeah. No, but I mean, again, I'm looking for that person that goes, oh, yeah, I surf the dark web. I can easily fix up your algorithms or whatever.
Like, you mean like rig it up for you where you're going to, but you don't have an unfair advantage. You think, how do you feel about that spiritually?
An unfair advantage on social media?
Yeah.
An unfair advantage on something that matters little to nothing?
That's what you're telling yourself so you can win and take views from a person who's working hard right now.
Maybe
John.
What God wants for me is just to write and to stop worrying about platform. Or maybe God wants me to be a good steward and realize I live in 2022 and I need to care about that because that's what the people around me are listening to. You tell me the answer to those two, that tension between those two places, I'll give you $100, Johnny.
I wonder what like it's so interesting that we have to think about that. We have to have a message and we send it out and now we have to hope it's not going to get like stopped along the way by whatever, like, oh, this one had a link in it, a YouTube link. You shouldn't have shared that. Oh, because like if I share an event, you're not supposed to put like a website. So some people will spell out .com. They'll spell out .com because that tricks the algorithm. And I never knew why they did it. They go, oh, yeah, you can't. And I go, I've been putting websites in my posts.
That's why no one's coming to you.
Yeah, that's why nobody cares. And so people do that. But I just wonder, like, in the old days, if you're like that, they have like a carrier pigeon. They're sending a message.
Yeah.
They put it in the raven's mouth, send it out, and then they got to worry, like,
did he hit a storm?
Right. Did he get shot? What are their...
Right. Was he hunted by a larger bird of prey? Come on now.
Mm-hmm.
Truthfully, so my publisher told me, like, that we're struggling with some of the videos we're making because we get blocked on certain words.
Yeah.
By the algorithms.
Oh, right.
And the first thing my social media manager told me was, oh, yeah, if racism is in any of this stuff, you're not being seen by most people.
And you're like, man, I'm glad I didn't just write a book on racism
and just put out a bunch of videos about talking about racism. And so
they're
then,
like, it's not, this isn't going to faith-based communities, is it? Oh, no. And this is...
Oh, yeah, you throw the faith-based in there because to their defense...
They're more sensitive to it, too. That's the other thing. Is like they're half those people are muting those words anyway probably right now. That's the thing. It's so weird.
Yeah, maybe they don't want to hear...
They just don't want to see it anymore.
And that's the funny thing. I always go, you know, the flip side is I wrote a comedy book that I still stand behind. Like, I still love that book.
That's a great book.
It's a great book.
You should stand behind it.
And I'll do a
big book if you can stand behind it.
I do a podcast with a comedian.
Mm-hmm.
Like, actually, I do a lot of fun things that I think are accessible.
And then
when you get there, I hand you a dang racism book, you know, and you're like, well, womp, womp, womp.
You're just showing the many sides, the prism that is John Driver.
I just want to go.
The many moods.
I think we could be people who have fun who also talk about important things. Like, is that, Johnny, is it so much to ask?
Isn't that what the ancient philosophers did? Don't you think Aristotle had a good knock-knock joke?
I mean, there's no doubt.
You don't think Plato ever said, pull my finger?
I bet he did in Latin. Don't pull fingers per se.
I don't know. When is Greek? You need to find out what the Greek is for pull my finger. That'd be great if you like had like a scripture you're breaking down and then like, because it's always something amazing. Like the Greek, this word is dunamis. It's where we get the word dynamite. We're going to have dynamite power. It'd be funny if it was like, this means, and it means something really like, it's like an old horrible. Yeah.
This meant flatulence.
Yeah. Can you believe it?
Can you imagine? Oh, my goodness. You know, there's flatulence in the Bible, Johnny. It's got to be there.
Yeah. Mm. Nobody wrote about it, but we know that it happened.
We don't know.
Because there are people.
But you don't know what all in the ancient.
Those diets, those Mediterranean diets, ooh. John. Ooh. Think about that. You ever done those?
Fasted for a couple days?
You've done paleo. You know what's going on. Mm. It's a rumbly in your tumbly.
Let me tell you. Speaking of, I'm thinking April. If the Lord will allow, at this point, just a season of maybe some decent weather, no tornadoes and no snowstorms.
Okay.
Now, I know this is not big to what's going on in the world. I'm just speaking to my little micro world.
Right.
And there's a few other things that may resolve here, big things in the driver life.
Sure.
It'd be a good month to try to take off a few pounds because I have what doctors call a bit of a weight problem now.
Bear claws lodged right in this region.
I ate a Cadbury egg today.
I've had a couple of those.
Like this season, we're not even into April. It's not even.
But the candies are out there. You know, you're going through Walgreens. You're in line. You got your antihistamines. You got your whatever. You got your COVID test.
Your diet pills.
And then you go. You got your COVID test. And they're like, they're right there at the register.
Yeah.
69 cents. Look at that.
My wife will eat one Cadbury egg.
Pure sugar.
A year.
It's like a shot to the adrenaline to your heart.
You can't take more than one. Mm-mm. It's like having
if you eat more than one Cadbury egg, you got a problem.
Oh, gosh.
Like Curry, we were in line and I got something. I got like a little candy something and she had two Cadbury eggs. And I go, whoa. I said, did you get me one? She goes, this other one is for you. She said it like, but I don't know the real truth behind it. Like, was she called out? Was she going to eat two Cadbury eggs?
Or was she
like,
she was.
Of course one of these is for you, sweetheart. I wouldn't dare.
I don't think a person
could
eat
two. I immediately
thought
of you when I saw these.
You couldn't eat two.
We'll share it.
I mean, that thing is so thick in the middle.
It is.
In a good way.
Yeah.
But too much. Like, more than
rich.
That.
It's a richness.
And I'm a guy that can eat an entire pizza and a half gallon of ice cream. And I say that's too much. More than one Cadbury egg.
I got to clean it up. Here's how I feel. I had this thought the other day. And I haven't figured out how to make it for the stage yet, but I am okay. So when I go, you see people on TikTok all the time. There's a huge trend in TikTok now of meal planners who are trying to lose weight, and they go, "This is how I lost 100 pounds.
Right.
I plan all my meals for the week.
Right.
I get 10 pounds of chicken. I cook it in the crock pot. I season it with this seasoning," and they show you how they make these little like chicken wraps for every day of the week, and they put them in Tupperware, and then they go, "Now I don't have to worry about it. I got my chickens, my beans, my rice. This is 300 calories. I know every day I'm going to have this for lunch." And I go, "I need to be these people." What I do is I make no plan, and then it's like 12:30, and I go, "Hey, well, I guess I'll go grab something." And then I end up at Burger King or whatever because it's like – and here's what I've decided I am. I'm like the negligent stepdad for myself. You know how like if you're a bad dad –
yeah.
If you're a kid, you don't know you have a bad dad because you go, "Dad's the coolest. He smokes in the car. He lets us ride in the back of the pickup truck.
We get McDonald's
truck.
Every day.
We get McDonald's every day. He didn't know what we were going to have for dinner because we got dropped off at his house for the weekend. He didn't have a plan, so guess who got Little Caesars?" That's a bad dad.
Yeah.
But you think it's a good dad when you're a kid. I'm still a kid, and I'm my own bad stepdad.
Wow. Guys.
It's not funny yet, but it's the truth. It's the truth. I really am.
It's not funny.
I'm a negligent parent
Johnny
to myself.
Johnny has a single tear rolling down his face right now. He's trying to make it into a joke.
I don't know what to do about
it.
Just sit in the dark and eat a cream egg like an animal. Even an animal wouldn't eat it.
I'm not sure my dog would eat two of those. Right. He's like, "Whoa, this is too far."
Well, dogs can't have chocolate. It'll kill them. Be careful.
Wow. We give him.
You're like, that's a myth. My dog's favorite food is chocolate. Now, he has violent diarrhea, but hold on. Are you saying those are linked?
Oh, my goodness. Wow, that's fun. By the way, the Oscars are on tonight. Aren't they?
I don't know. It's just, do you watch?
None.
Have you seen any of the movies?
Nope, none.
So wait, let me go back because there's a joke about weight loss that I wanted to read. Oh. This is Jordan Macon, who's one of the Dry Bar comics out of Utah. He's fantastic. And this tweet, I was thinking about when you said that, about needing to lose weight. It said, "I've lost 10 pounds after 1 week of Nutrisystem, and it's pretty cool to know exactly how much the joy inside me used to weigh." Isn't that fantastic?
That's perfect.
I've heard like variations of that kind of joke where one I really love that I wish I'd written was, "I've been on the Atkins diet for 2 weeks, and so far I've lost 14 days." Like, that's a great joke.
That's good.
It's kind of similar in...
Yeah.
The misdirection's kind of similar, but I love that. I love knowing how much the joy inside me used to weigh. That's fantastic. Because that was the old thing, you know, the 21 grams, right? You ever heard the phrase 21 grams? There was even a movie about it. Like, they did this science experiment, and they literally, like, had weights on a bed. This is back when there was a lot more superstition in medicine. There still is, but less. Mm. We've got less of it in there. And they wanted to see if when you die – your weight changes, and that would be how much your soul weighed, because as your soul exits your body and goes to heaven or hell, if your weight changes, and one of those tests, the weight changed by 21 grams.
Hmm.
And so they said that's what the soul was. So there's this whole theory out there that like your soul weighs 21 grams because of some weird rigged test in the 40s or 30s.
Wow.
Back when they were just like, who knows what else they were doing?
Wow.
Like just putting leeches on people. Of course, now they're putting leeches on people again, and they've decided it's good again.
Yeah.
You know, there's leech therapy.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Vanderbilt Hospital does leeches.
Yeah.
Like, oh, yeah, we'll put leeches on you, and this will help your nose job that we just did keep from going necrotic, because the leeches will draw all the bad blood out, and they'll draw healthy blood into those. You're like, what? Because, like, I watched that show Botched. You ever see that show?
Mm-mm.
It's messed up. It's like so plastic surgeries that go bad,
wrong.
And then they go to get these guys to fix them. So there's just people that are just having a bad time of it.
Yeah,
and they'll use leeches sometimes.
Wow.
And you just go, we've just come full circle.
We have.
So maybe that'll.
Wow.
Maybe it's all right. Leeches. You know.
I think could they not just? Could we not create some sort of blood sucking?
Like that
device?
Thing that the swimmers use, the cupping,
the cup thing. That's what it makes.
Does Sadie do that for volleyball?
No,
she hasn't. Cup therapy?
No.
Cupping?
No, we haven't done that.
It's there's
her
some
shoulder hurts. So
there is some gnarly looking.
Oh yeah,
on those people after they. It is. You look like an octopus. Some of those people just down their back.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe it's good for you because
not
I mean, Michael Phelps did it.
Look at Michael.
He won 82 medals.
Didn't he also have like special lungs and? Yeah, his lung capacity. They did a study on him was greater than the average person and. Like, his body was made for what he did. And guys, won't that preach?
I wonder about people like that. Like, they said that about Lance, too, before he got caught doping. They said that, like, he whatever. And I've read that about a mountain. There's some mountain climber that he can climb without oxygen. He climbed Everest without oxygen or something. He's one of two people in the world that even have this ability to not just pass out from the thin air and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
But, like, how do you know?
Right. How did you get aligned?
Yeah. How did you go, like, you know what? I don't think I want to sell insurance. I want to climb Mount Everest because I've got freak lungs that I didn't even know.
But you you'd have to try it one time.
Yeah.
Like, what are we not trying right now that really is the thing that we were meant to do?
I think it's salads.
See, I think it's wrapping.
For me?
The other day,
You sure it's not salads?
I was listening.
I could be like, sit-ups. We're not.
Turns out.
I could have abs of steel.
And I thought the other day.
Wrapping.
How much it would disrupt the... Perhaps the entire.
I think it would disrupt our friendship.
It would disrupt if I just dropped a rap album.
What if you were
and it was really good?
Yeah.
What if it was really good? Could you see me in that light? I don't think you could. I think you couldn't have like a
here's what you're
subjective.
Missing. No, it's not even about whether or not you could write the rhymes and whether you could deliver them well. It's you've got no swag.
Wow. You're gonna say I have no street cred?
No, no. It's about like I know that you hate yourself. And rappers, like, they exude, like, confidence.
Hey, maybe not the rappers I listen to.
You got, like, the self-loathing rappers. You know what I mean, though? It's like there's some of this. And if you made this move, I'd go, nope, not buying it. If you just started into it, if you went.
But what if that's what I needed to offset all of this bad self-esteem?
Like, we've done raps for youth things. We've done on mission trips. We've wrote horrible, funny raps, okay? But even as we get into character.
Yeah.
It's funny. It makes people laugh.
Yeah.
That's not what real rappers do. They go, this guy's legit. Look at him.
Yeah.
But nobody would think that with you. They go, this guy's having a midlife crisis.
I want to, in the middle of worship at least.
Like have a rap break?
Maybe have a moment where I'll drop a spoken word with the music.
I could buy that.
And then I want to drop a brr, brr in there. Do you know what it would do if I dropped a brr? Like they... would come unglued.
I think what they would think is he's having a stroke.
He's having something's wrong. They wouldn't know what it was. Maybe at times, you know. But my daughter,
we've got some younger people at the church now. There's a lot of people that go to our church now. I don't know them. They don't know me.
Yeah.
It's great though. But I just go, yeah. Would those people? Would they go? Oh, that guy.
I don't know. But me, my daughter can't do the.
Our teaching pastor does a. I can't do it.
You can't do the rolled R's.
I'm doing the
he's doing a lip roll.
I am.
She does a gargle. Like she can't get it out, but it's a brrr. Yeah.
No.
Johnny, listen, man, out here.
If you've got that, that's something. Now you could build the swag from that
because
you go, I can do that and no one else can.
I have a thing, that the rappers can do.
It's like being double jointed.
Yeah.
Or rolling your tongue. You didn't know until you're like, oh, and everybody that can't do that? And they go, John, you're special. You might be the one.
Yes. Like, what if I'm like this 44-year-old Eminem figure that people don't know. Like,
oh, you're an Eminem figure.
Eminem peanut. I knew it was coming.
What if I'm this Eminem figure? Sheesh.
Guys, it might be time for me to get another manuscript soon.
Yeah.
A little too much.
I think it's one of those things, though, I could see doing, if you're in that mode of like, I got to do something different to like, get my creativity kickstarted. Uh-huh. Like people do that sometimes. I think I want to start painting this year.
Yeah.
I could see you being like, I'm going to put out a rap album.
Yeah.
And listen, if you decide to do it, I'm on board. As I make fun of you, I'll be secretly going, you go, John.
You got this.
Yeah.
You know,
I'm in your corner. I'll text you encouraging things, but on the air, you're going down.
Now, I will say this is true. I've been listening to a little bit of our old music.
Okay. No rap in that.
No. And I have thought about you and I putting out a song.
It's been
a while. Maybe redoing one of the songs or making a new one.
Okay.
You singing, obviously. I'll harmonize and play and try.
John,
We'll
flip a coin.
No, the coin's been flipped.
You've already been told you have a great voice today.
Radio voice.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, like talking, not singing.
All right.
So, and I like singing harmonies. Johnny, I'm a collaborator. It's what I like to do.
Bro, speaking of harmonies, did you see the announcement from... The Cayman's Calls Twitter account.
Harmonies?
No,
oh, I'm sorry.
Cayman's Calls Twitter account.
No.
Suddenly,
way.
Somebody retweeted a tweet that I was like, Cayman's Call has a Twitter, first of all?
Really?
And then it said, I can't remember exactly what it said, but it was like, it's been 25, it had the album cover from their first record.
Yeah.
It had all those hits on it that are amazing. It's an amazing record.
Yeah, it's great.
And it said, 25 years ago this came out and blah, blah, blah. A lot's changed since then. But it basically was like teasing something. But something's coming, maybe coming back around too.
Wow.
And stay tuned or whatever. And it had a website, Cayman's Call It. I was like, And then somebody below that in the comment thread said, Derek Webb tweeted the same thing today, like word for word. And I go, because Derek Webb's kind of distanced himself over the years from Cayman's Call. He's got more progressive
like
theology.
Like they're calling and he's not answering.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think that they're getting ready to put a 25th anniversary tour together, and I am going to be there.
And you think they're going to need an opening act?
Yes, and that's when that's where our song comes in with our harmonies.
Yeah,
specially layered.
Yes,
delicious harmonies.
My goodness.
Anyway,
well,
you'd go, right? You'd go with me?
Yeah,
if they do a show,
yeah, I'd go.
Cayman's Call, 40 Acres, get out of here. Yeah. What a great record! That was the second record.
Yeah, I like the second record. I like them both. Second record was stronger start to finish, in my opinion.
Yeah.
First record was just like the first time we'd heard anything like that in our sort of world.
Yeah.
Because it was all on Adrenaline, Third Day.
Right. And somebody came in. They were so folky and harmonies. And,
yeah.
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 Interesting. Yeah. No, they were great. And it's interesting to think that they might come back and do an anniversary tour or something.
Yeah.
I'm there. And then we'll open and scarlet thread. Get the band back together.
Come on, man. We need to start working on the song.
We got to recruit. We got to.
Yeah.
Yeah. Guys, if you're out there, people are clamoring. People have been out there clamoring for this to themselves.
It's not really an audible clamor.
It's so subtle.
Right. Because you don't want it. You don't want people like out loud asking.
Even though social media is full of people who speak their every thought nonstop, somehow this they've kept deep in their heart and they've said, you know what? I'm just going to vibe on this.
Yeah.
But we felt it.
I felt it.
And we're
answering the question that you're asking in
that you didn't ask.
Right. You didn't have.
You didn't have to ask. Your soul asked.
Yeah. We feel the soul. I mean, we don't do soul music.
No.
No. It's very like two white guys with acoustic guitars, but it was.
Who may or may not rap.
It could happen anytime. So, hey, listener, I hope you've enjoyed the time that we've had today. Freestyling, if you will.
It's free.
It is.
Yeah.
It's a style.
It's been free.
So, hey, make sure you head on over to our website.
Talkaboutthatpodcast.com.
Yeah, you can get all our archived episodes.
Over 200 now.
Yeah.
Check out the one with Dave Barnes. We thought that was really fun. And
that's
what a cool one with Dave Barnes, John McLaughlin.
What great guys.
They were fun. I want to have him back. I'm thinking about him starting inviting more guests. You know, I've got some comedian friends and that we always talk about. And I was like, we need to have him on the show.
Yeah.
Because I think we've got a good rapport now, and sometimes when you bring a third person in, it's like, is there going to be a thing? But now that we've pulled it off with Dave and John, I was like, well, that was fun.
Yeah.
So now I want to have like Brian and
do it.
You know, we have Marty again, maybe Rick.
Yeah.
Be fun.
Okay.
Some comedians, and then whoever you want.
No, it's fine. I see where you're taking the show. Let's get the people. People want to hear comedians.
Anyway, over 200 episodes. Go on there. If you feel so inclined, there's a Patreon link there if you want to kick in some shekels. We really love our patrons. And we need to do like a patron group call. We've not done one of those in a while.
Yeah. We shouldn't even talk about it, though. We're not really going to do it.
We're
going to
follow
when Johnny
through.
Says that.
No, we're going to do something.
I need Johnny to set that up. And
we.
I can't even get the right song on my social media post. So you know where I am right now. But
it was the right song for something. But it was not the right song for that post.
I just love it. You couldn't say, hey, man, you might want to check your account. John's like, hey, great song choice.
Sorry. I wasn't like reveling in it. I was concerned.
No, I knew it was your concern, and I needed that little moment of humor in that. I did.
Been told, right?
No.
That was the first person.
You were Allison came in like right behind you. I can't remember which was first.
Oh, no.
But it was just by that night, I was laughing.
Yeah.
Especially at yours. I was like, okay, Johnny made fun of this. I can breathe because this is funny. So, and now we've talked about it, but hey, also make sure you follow Johnny, man. Can you announce?
Yeah.
Can you? Okay.
What am I announcing?
What's coming up?
Oh, sure. Yeah. My second Dry Bar taping is coming up.
Yeah.
It's April 23rd and that's in Provo, Utah, right near Salt Lake. So if you're in the Utah area and you want to come, tickets are available on their website. There's going to be two shows on April 23rd. And we're going to do my second taping with Dry Bar. They've been super cool to me. The last few weeks especially, things have been really picking up with them, and that's been great. They've been such a great partner to work with. And so that's happening. And, lots of tour dates going up. I've been booking a lot of things. So if you want me to come to your church or organization or your corporate or your And there's going to be some live shows, some ticketed events that I'm putting together for the end of the year as well. So, yeah, lots of – so keep an eye on my website for new tour dates and things like that. Go to Amazon, check out John's book, NotSoBlackAndWhiteBook.com, or just go to Amazon, search John's name. You can find out 48 books John's written in 7 languages.
Yeah.
I don't know.
There is another John Driver who's a Mennonite theologian. That's not me.
But you can tell he's got his – face on the book jacket.
Often,
what if you looked exactly like him?
Wouldn't that be great?
You have to cut your beard.
Yeah, he's way smarter than me. But
no.
Yes, he is. Absolutely.
Nobody's smarter than my Johnny.
Oh, come on now. No, you can check
he's
out,
He's more
though,
Mennonite than you, but, for hey, sure.
He's way more Mennonite. That's true. But yeah, with my friend Reggie Dabbs. And
check that out. Leave a review. Leave a rating.
Yeah, please go leave a rating. We really, really need that right now.
5 stars would help. Oh. It helps people find the book that can benefit from it. It's a great resource. And this is an interesting time we're living in. A lot of racially charged things, and we want to make sure people are getting the right message. And so, yeah, it's a great way to kind of like tiptoe into that world and honest conversations. So, good stuff. Yeah. Do that.
Well, guys, we sure appreciate all the time that you spend with us every week. We'll see you next week on
Talk About That.
What do you do when the world around you is falling apart? It's amazing to me how many people are breathing air. They're going about their business and doing the things you're supposed to do. But if you really ask them, they know that on the inside, they are spiritually and emotionally and relationally dead. If we're not careful, all of us can experience that death. When what we need to do, even as the world around us is falling apart, we need to learn how to march when it would be easier to stay where we are and die. Join me each week on the March or Die Show as we discuss that and so much more.